T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
E is equal to mc squared, in which energy is
all equal to man.
The human genome is our shared inheritance. And it is sharing that
property. Cricks and cracks.
Hi, I'm Bob McDonald. Well, there was some encouraging news this week on the climate change front. Barack Obama and the Prime Minister of China both announced that they would be attending the UN Conference on Climate Change in Copenhagen. And even our own Stephen Harper jumped on the bandwagon and said he'd drop by Copenhagen as well. But that news was offset by some disturbing evidence from the Canadian Arctic that shows the sea ice is disappearing even faster than we'd thought. We'll meet the Canadian scientist who made the discovery in just a moment. Plus, Alison Motluck will be here to tell us the controversial story of Canada's maple reactors. They were designed and built to supply medical isotopes to Canada and the world, but after a decade of tests and more than $500 million, they're sitting idle and abandoned. We'll find out why later in the program. Plus, pipefish dads have the kids over for lunch, literally. And mammoth poop reveals why the giant beast went extinct. But first, cruising on thin ice. This is Quirks and Quarks. During much of the last decade, Arctic scientists have been concerned about the unexpectedly rapid shrinking of the permanent sea ice cover in the north. Throughout the year, of course, ice grows and retreats in the Arctic, but the permanent sea ice pack, which has existed in the Arctic for hundreds of thousands of years, has been shrinking at an alarming rate, far faster than most predictions. Over the last 2 years, however, the situation appeared to be improving. Satellite observations seem to show a partial recovery of the permanent ice. Unfortunately, according to new observations by Dr. David Barber and his colleagues, that recovery may have been an illusion. They've recently returned from a research trip in the Arctic on board the Canadian Coast Guard icebreaker Amundsen. They went there to study the permanent ice pack, but they didn't find it. Instead, they found something entirely unexpected. Dr. Barber is Canada Research Chair in Arctic System Science at the University of Manitoba. Hi, welcome back to Quirks and Quarks.
Yes, thanks, Bob.
So what did you see when you went to the Arctic?
Well, it was quite dramatic, actually. We were on the Amundsen, and our science plan called for a cruise north from the Tuck Peninsula, which is in the western Canadian High Arctic, and we were going to go as far north as we could from there into the multi-year pack ice. So we started up this transect line, and when we got to the location where the satellites were indicating we'd have thick multi-year sea ice, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of multi-year sea ice around here. So I thought, well, maybe the satellites were just misjudging the geographic location of the edge or the boundary. We'd been working quite a lot that day, so I decided I'd try to get some sleep before we got further into the multi-year pack. And I woke up about, oh, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I flicked on my TV. We have an internal GPS system there that tells us how fast the ship is going and where it is. And I noticed that we were doing 13 knots, and that's about 25 kilometers an hour, which is very fast for an icebreaker. So we're almost going the speed we'd be going in open water. And I thought, oh my God, what are these guys doing on the bridge? So I went running upstairs and got to the bridge and looked out, and one of the first officers was on the deck, and he says, you know, this is not multi-year sea ice. It's some kind of a rotten ice that he'd never seen before. It was made up of small pieces of really heavily decayed ice. So what happened was the multi-year ice had just disintegrated into nothing, and it leaves just little pieces of ice. And then these little pieces of ice were overlain with very thin new ice that was just growing that year. It was only about 5 centimeters thick.
Wow.
So this kind of ice cover is no barrier to an icebreaker for sure, and very little barrier to any kind of a ship. And we traversed north along that line for about 150 miles. And this was the kind of ice that we saw throughout that entire traverse going straight north. So at that point, I thought, well, we better stop because we're here to study the really late season multi-year ice, and this isn't it. We're incorrectly classifying this ice in the satellite data. So we went eastwards towards Banks Island, because we know the multi-year ice piles up against the archipelago coast in that sector of the Canadian High Arctic, thinking that we would see how far we have to go and, you know, whether there's any multi-year ice left at all.
Okay, so let me get this right. The satellites were telling you that this multi-year ice was there. You get there, and you come to something that looks like pack ice, but the ship could just cruise right through it at full speed, basically. So did you find any solid multi-year ice?
Yeah, we did. When we did on that easterly traverse, when we went towards Banks Island, we found a very large flow of multi-year ice, and the whole area west of us was all multi-year because we used our helicopter to get up and start flying around it. So we have very sophisticated equipment on board the Amundsen, which allows us to identify the thickness of the ice, its surface topography, many, many characteristics of the ice. So we were quite confident that we had found what is left of the multi-year sea ice. So we tied up to one of these very big flows with the thought of putting our science teams onto the flow and conducting intensive research into what the structure looks like and its physical characteristics and that kind of thing. But unfortunately, that plan had to be delayed because I was standing on the back helicopter deck of the Amundsen, and I was looking out over the flow where we're just about to deploy the teams, and as I was watching, a crack opened up in this big multi-year flow. Now remember, this flow is about 10 miles across and probably had an average thickness of about 6 meters, maybe 7 meters thickness, and this crack opened up instantaneously right in front of my eyes. And I thought, well, what the heck is going on here? So I watched for a little while longer, and I noticed that there was a swell coming into the ice, you know, where you get a waves out in the open ocean and then it penetrates into the pack ice and it dampens the amplitude of the wave, but you can still see it. It comes in as a swell into the ice. And what happened was this big multi-year flow lifted up as a wave crest went underneath it. And then as that wave crest passed, it just broke the flow into little tiny pieces. So as we watched, literally as I was watching, within 5 minutes, this flow, which was 10 miles across and an average of 6 or 7 meters thick, broke up into pieces that were about 100 meters across, because that was the period between the swell crests that were coming in. And it just broke it up systematically like that as the swell penetrated into the pack. So it gave us a very dramatic example of one of the problems we're having in the High Arctic, and that is that the pack has gotten so deteriorated now, it is so decayed, that it can no longer protect itself from storms that get generated out over the open water. So this storm that was generating these swells had originated over the Siberian coast and was out over the Arctic Ocean, sort of north of us towards the pole, but there was enough open water that it got a really big wave crest associated with the winds that were on this low pressure system, and then it penetrated about 200 miles into the pack ice to where we were located, and the waves were still big enough there to catastrophically break up this multi-year flow that we were trying to do our research on.
Boy, so was this breakup that you were witnessing, is that the formation of this slushy stuff that you're talking about?
Well, that's part of it. And the other part of it is that because there's so much open ocean now, we're starting to get a heat source from we call it the ocean surface mixed layer, which is where the heat is located in the upper part of the ocean. So it's melting the multi-year flow from underneath, and solar radiation is melting it from on top. And so those two processes, that breaking up of the flows into these small pieces, and this idea that solar radiation and a warming ocean is decaying, created that base of this rotten ice that we saw when we thought we were in multi-year sea ice.
Now, you were only able to cruise through a small part of the Arctic, but based on what you saw, how much of what we thought was solid multi-year ice is actually not?
Well, this is a difficult question to answer because we traversed, you know, a couple of hundred miles going straight north and then a hundred and a half miles going towards the east. So we were still in the Canada Basin. Now, when we look further north, it's hard to say what the ice looked like there, but most likely the multi-year ice that we were traversing through, this rotten ice, probably extended quite far north. As it turned out, when we came back from the field experiment, a couple of my colleagues in the United States had just finished an analysis taking beacons that you put into the ice. You drill a hole in the ice, you put a beacon into it, and then that beacon sends a GPS signal up to the satellites, and you can track the ice as it's moving around the Arctic. And they just produced a map showing the age of the ice based on this tracker data. And their results showed something very similar to what we saw in the Arctic. There's only about 19% of the Arctic basin now covered with multi-year sea ice, even though the aerial extent of ice has increased in 2008 and 2009. The multi-year ice presence, this really thick permanent ice cover, has been declining precipitously since 2007.
We've been hearing predictions on when the Arctic Ocean will be completely ice-free during the summer. Do these observations that you've made of the presence of this slushy stuff change that prediction for when the ice will be gone in the north?
Well, this is, again, it's difficult to say for sure what's going to happen, but the crystal ball that I'm holding in my hands tells me that we could have a seasonally ice-free Arctic very soon if we get the right atmospheric and oceanic conditions. When the multi-year sea ice was there, it would have been much more difficult to do that same thing given the same conditions.
Dr. Barber, thank you very much.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Bob.
Dr. David Barber is Canada Research Chair in Arctic System Science at the University of Manitoba. Coming up next, cores of spores.